Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 37 for November 7th, 2007. Crazy blind date. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook and a whole lot more. Visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. It's time for Net at Night. I'm Leo Laporte, and I'm in the daylight because it's only 3:30 here. And in Florida, it's Amber MacArthur, where it's pitch black.
I know, it's pitch black, and I was thinking that we would be able to do video for this, and I would go out on the deck, and there'd be the beautiful Atlantic Ocean behind me, and then the time changed, and I realized that it's dark at 5:30, yeah. So that doesn't work so well.
You have to install Leopard, and we have to really kind of work out how this is going to work with iChat, but we're hoping, I mean, Leopard iChat, supposedly, you could do all this stuff in video. Now, I've been playing with the green screen stuff, and it doesn't work as well as it did in the demos. I don't know why not.
Really? That's a surprise.
So we'll see. But I have high hopes, because everybody wants to see you. I mean, you're the star of the show.
I don't know about that, Leo, but I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Well, they really want to see you on the beach in a bikini, but that we're not going to give them.
Probably never going to happen.
stare at a black piece of paper, and that's what it looks like right now. That's Amber in the dark, on the beach, in a bikini.
Yeah, if you really want me to, I could go out there right now and turn on the camera, but you're not going to see too much.
You won't see nothing. So how's everything going? I understand you are no longer going to be hosting. Can I say this? Is it allowed? Homepage?
Yep.
The channel got sold.
Yeah, well, with the split, Rogers now owns City TV and CTV, which are big networks in Canada. They own CP24, and Homepage was on CP24. So it's very confusing, but the gist of it is that another network owns Homepage, and I could continue to do it throughout the next few weeks if I wanted to. Eventually something would happen where I would no longer have the show. I really got to a point where I was investing time in booking guests, and I didn't have a lot of time to actually spend on the show, and I kind of wanted to take it in one direction, but at the end of the day, it's for an entirely different network, and I don't work for them, so I just sort of said, hey, I'd rather put my energy in something else.
That's the way TV is. Like, things come and go. That's one of the reasons I kind of like what we do, because we have, of course, we came and went, but we came back again, but we have control over that, and we get to do what we want, and I kind of like that. There's no sales involved, no sales of ownership.
You're not going to sell Net at Night on me, are you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've got a very good offer right now from Rogers.
Rogers totally owns me.
No. You still have Command N. You own that.
Yes.
You still have Net at Night.
Sure do.
We're safe with that.
Yes.
And you're doing Web Nation still. And in fact, I think we're going to see more Web Nation.
Yep, that's the plan. This is another weird thing about this whole sale, is that we have to change the name of Web Nation, because CTV throughout the sale actually owns that as well. And
Name but not the show?
Well, they kind of own the show, but really they don't have the team to recreate the show. Maybe they'll recreate it. I don't really know. Leo, you know what it's like in TV. You have no idea, really. it all happens at a very high level. So you're going to do a show.
They could do a show called Web Nation, and you could do a show called Web Nation. If they wanted to, you could have two. There could be two Web Nations.
I don't really know. I think we have to change the name, though, because the idea is that a Web Nation-like show will come back on the air in January, and it used to just be local in Toronto on TV, but now it will be national on CTV across the country, as well as G4 Tech TV.
That's the good news. That's really exciting.
I hope that I'm near you on G4 Tech TV. Like, that'll be exciting.
It'd be fun if it followed the lab. Yeah, if it were right after the lab.
I know. It'd be even more fun if they could fly me out to do the lab, but maybe I'll tackle that.
Let's talk to them about that.
I know. It makes sense, doesn't it? That would be so ideal.
It's not the lab without Amber.
Well, it is the lab with Leo Laporte, so.
We could change the name. I don't mind changing the name.
You know, I want to exist kind of in the, you know, just, you know, not so much in the foreground, just a little behind.
You like being in the background. No, you don't. Don't give me that.
A smidgen.
No. I don't know. Oh, yeah, just one hair behind, huh?
One hair.
So that if anybody throws anything, it hits me first. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you've always kind of protected me, so we could continue that.
I'll spread my arms and protect you from the flying detritus. So we got some news from the tech world. We've got some, as usual, our best tech trick, our best web idea, worst web idea, Amber's music pick. Lots to talk about. You know, I'm going to be going, we're doing this a little early. We're doing it on Tuesday because Wednesday, when the show will be put out, I am on my way to Vegas for Blog World.
No. So tell me about Blog World.
I don't think it's the first Blog World, but this is the first Blog World with a big podcasting contingent. It's now a new media expo. So if you go, you can go to blogworldexpo.com to read about it. And Rick Calvert is putting it on. He has some considerable experience putting on trade shows. He does a big auto trade show, SEMATech, every year in Las Vegas. And Blog World is, was initially for blog folks, but now with the new media stuff, it's really for every, and I think that's as it should be. I don't like this distinction between blogs, podcasts, online TV, online internet, radio, all that stuff. It's all internet-based content, internet-distributed content. I don't like to make any distinctions. So, boy, we've got an amazing group of people, including I'm gonna speak the keynote for the podcast part. Mike Arrington is there talking. Mark Cuban's going to do the closing keynote.
Okay.
Matt Mullenweg of WordPress, Shell Israel. I mean, people, everybody you know. It's going to be it's going to be really a great time. And since I missed the podcast expo, I've been kind of bummed about that. I'm really excited. I'm really excited that I'm going to get to do this.
So, Leo, for people who don't get to see you there, what are you going to speak about?
My speech is being written right now. They didn't ask me what the title is. They gave it the title, The Future of New Media Publishing Tools. And I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to be talking about the new media. You know, we've all seen, in fact, we try to get Chris Anderson on the show. He's the editor at Wired who created the term The Long Tail and then wrote the book The Long Tail. We've all seen that curve with a big, you know, fat end at the at one end and then kind of trailing off with a long tail at the end. That's called a power law or Pareto's curve. And his thesis was, you know, there are a few big bestsellers and then there are many, many, many more small sellers. And that kind of is the model for internet programming as well. There are a few big hits. It's hit driven. And then there's everybody else, but there's more of everybody else than there are of the few big hits. So the tail matters. I'm going to kind of turn this whole thing on its head. I don't think there is a long tail. I think there's a fat tail, and I want to talk a little bit about what's happening. I think that these big drivers, that's an old model. It's the old broadcast model. I'm going to talk about what's ahead for us as specialized media, niche media. Hmm. That's really, and also,
so it'd be like,
go ahead.
I was going to say it'd be like the short and pudgy tail.
Yeah, the short and pudgy tail. That's me. And we're going to talk, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've learned from network theory and so forth to help people who do blogs or podcasts or any kind of internet content, help them understand what it is they need to do to go to the next level. And it's maybe not what you think it is. It's actually really exciting. It's hard to describe without giving away everything. And I want people to come see it. But I think we'll come away with a better understanding of what we're up to. You know, as podcasters, as internet content creators, I'll speak for myself. You tell me if you feel this way. I think we just kind of go by instinct and by gut, and we just do what makes sense and do what's next. But we are part of a real phenomenon that has some actual, you know, there's something happening here, and you know, you and I have talked a lot about this, and I've started to really think about what exactly is happening. And I've done a lot of reading, and it turns out there's been a lot of research in this area, and there's some very interesting conclusions you can draw. And essentially what we're doing is not only the right thing in the future, but really is transforming media. That's what I like about it. That's what you like about it, I know.
Oh, I love that. You know, that's the one thing that I don't really like, being sort of pigeonholed in the sense that you're just kind of doing one thing. And I know right now with my job, that's kind of what I'm trying to get out of, if I can say that. And I love what's happening in the online space. And it's so exciting. There's so many things going on and so much room for experimentation that I just want to be out there doing stuff and creating stuff. And, you know, I always get frustrated sometimes within a more structured environment like television, is that, you know, you don't really have that liberty to do things as quickly and to experiment. And so I'm all for exactly what you're talking about. It's just, there's just so much going on.
There's a guy named Yochai Benkler. He is a brilliant guy who wrote a book last year called The Wealth of Networks, published by Yale University Press. Although it's a 500-page book, but you can download a PDF of it on his website, from his website, Benkler.org. And it really is a challenging, fascinating book that talks about how media is changing and how information policy is not keeping up with it, and why DRM is bad, why giving away things is good, the trouble with mass media. He talks, what he calls, what's going on right now is, he calls, what does he call it? Networked media, I guess. It's the next stage after mass media. It's really interesting. Yeah, he's good. I recommend this. If this would be a good pick. It's a big read, and you can't buy the book, but he's done a Creative Commons version of it at Benkler, Benkler.org. It's called The Wealth of Networks. Kind of follows along on what Larry Lessig has talked about and so forth. It's really, really great. There's a whole wiki associated with it.
Is the download free to you?
Yep. Just a PDF. Oh, cool. He's giving it away. I think the theory is that if it's a big book, you're probably not going to read it on the computer. You might download it for research or to study, but if you want, you'll probably end up buying the book on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $40 book, so it's a good deal. Yeah, very interesting stuff. So let's get to the tech news.
We have a lot of links. Yes. So the first bit of news, I'm sure that you have probably talked about this at great lengths on your other podcasts about open social.
Yeah, but I'd love to get your take on it. This is the API that Google announced for social networks. Google isn't saying we're going to be the next Facebook. They do have or could, but more that they're going to create tools for all networks to use.
I think it's very exciting. I think it just kind of changes what will be happening with social networks out there. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Facebook responds. And the idea that you could actually, have applications that could be used across multiple platforms, I think it's exciting. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm interested because, they got a lot of, I think, 50 partners in this, including MySpace, LinkedIn, but not Facebook. And my suspicion is that this is, in a way, this is the beginning of the end for Facebook.
And that's what I sort of think in some ways. I think it's going to hurt Facebook. And I've always wondered, ever since Facebook became so popular, what's going to be the next big thing, because there has to be something out there. And I always wonder, how did some of these websites like Facebook, how do they survive? Because I was talking to my mom tonight in the kitchen down here in Florida, and she says, I don't get Facebook. She says, I go on there once in a while to see what people are doing, but there's nothing to do there. And it was really interesting because I thought, Yeah, there isn't necessarily a lot to do there. It's more of a networking thing. But how long will people keep going to that same site just because all their friends are there? As soon as those people move to something else, then I think they're definitely hurting. But the idea that you could have these applications that work across multiple sites like Ning and Friendster and all of the other companies that have joined up, I think it makes it the space. It just makes it a really interesting development for that entire space.
Right now, it's widgets. It's a way to write Facebook style applications for any, player, anybody who agrees to play with the APIs. But I think down the road, Google's plan is to make your information more portable. And if that happens, then there's no reason not to move around anywhere. Ultimately, exactly. What I'd like to see is a kind of a social network across networks. I don't like the walled garden. I don't like the fact that you have to say, well, are you on Facebook or MySpace? Mm-hmm. What should really happen is, no matter where you are, there should be some sort of interface, maybe an application that has my friends, and it doesn't matter. In other words, an Adium or a Trillium, not for instant messenger, but for social networks.
So that's a really good idea.
I think that ultimately that's the goal. And at that point, Facebook doesn't have the lock that it has right now. It's not worth as much. It's still worth something because many people will still choose Facebook and Facebook will be their home on the net. But it doesn't have to be the only place you play. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping.
I remember when Adium came out and the idea that you could go and you could log into Adium and then you could talk to people with whatever instant messaging client you're using. It just made life so much easier because it's just one central place. And I think the same thing about Facebook. I mean, I talk all the time about how much I don't like MySpace anymore. But the truth is there are still those few people on MySpace who, I don't get to talk to all the time because I'm always logging into Facebook. And it would be nice just to down the road have sort of a central place where you log on and you have all your entire network there. Because it's not as though, I only talk to my Facebook friends in my life right now and the rest of them I just ignore. So it would be great to have something like that.
We have to get Brad Fitzpatrick on. He's the guy who did a lot of the work on Google's Open Social. He's formerly of LiveJournal, then Six Apart, and of course now he's at Google. And I think that he is talking about something called elsewhere.im, which is kind of, I believe, if I understand it properly, the same idea. He does some really very interesting. His idea is a relationship update stream. That's just a feed of your social, kind of frankly what Jaiku is for me, which is a feed of your social relationship data, and then you could have a web client or a desktop client that would subscribe to this feed, provide real-time updates to what your friends are up to. I mean, it is a lot about what Jaiku's about, and I think with Google's acquisition of Jaiku, they might be in a pretty good position to create something like this.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
for sure.
We've got to get Brad on the show. He would be really fun to have.
Yes, we should definitely do that. And in other news, I'm sure you saw this. Oprah has teamed up with YouTube. So there's an Oprah channel now on YouTube. And she did a little video that you can watch when you go to her channel. And I thought it was kind of interesting to see her actually talking about YouTube because I wonder if she's forced to talk about YouTube, if you know
what I
mean.
You think she gets it? Well, let's play a little bit of it. We can see.
Okay.
Let's listen to see if she knows what she's talking about here.
Okay. I just want to say hi to everybody in the YouTube community.
All the people on the YouTube, I'm saying hi to you now.
I'm Oprah, of course. I've had my own show for
Why is she even saying who she is? Doesn't everybody know who Oprah is?
One would think.
I'm Oprah. Hi, Oprah. I'm Leo.
22 this year, but I'm excited to now have my own channel on YouTube. So welcome to our YouTube channel that we don't even have a name for.
Yeah, she's shaking her head the whole time. This is something some producer said. Come here, Oprah. Just welcome people to your YouTube channel. And she's going, I don't know what this is, but okay, whatever you say.
I know. I'm just curious what happens there because I see it just where I work. You know, there are those people who you have to kind of force into wanting to use these new technologies. And I mean, it's not their fault if they specialize in TV and that's kind of what they want to do. If they want to ignore other things that are happening, that's totally, their own prerogative. But I'm just curious in terms of how she actually got to that point and if she is totally interested in going that avenue and pursuing getting people to submit videos on YouTube and really kind of leveraging the power of the internet. So
forgive me if I'm skeptical. I'm just skeptical of when I see mainstream media jump on these things. I just feel like having worked in mainstream media for so long, I just feel like your time's over. Stop trying to prolong your monopoly of media. That's not what this is about. This is about everybody, not you.
And, yeah, I agree with that as well.
It's almost to me like they're saying, no, look at me. I'm TV person. Nope, sorry. I'm much more interested in Lonely Girl 15. Thank you.
Yeah.
She puts clips from all of the best known YouTube clips. It's like, yeah, Oprah, right. These have been around for a long time. You just discovered them? What's the story?
But you know what I think is really interesting is that, can you get to that point where, can you get to that point where there are the odd person who kind of understands both mediums? And I think someone like Stephen Colbert does. He definitely, and there's very few people out there like that at a very high level who I think.
The problem is Stephen Colbert does, but Viacom, his parent company, doesn't.
I know.
And so it doesn't matter. He works for a big media conglomerate. If Stephen Colbert really got it, he'd be doing his own thing on YouTube.
Yeah, if Stephen Colbert went out, he wouldn't have to deal with all this other crap. We could just see him all the time.
Well, he wants money. I mean, he wants to make a living.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think it's going to be the Oprahs of the world, because or the Stephen Colberts even. They're used to making too much money off of what they do. And I don't think they're going to embrace something that isn't a money tree.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a money tree. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
This is kind of getting back to what I'm going to be talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about, which is it's the end of the old media model. And it's the beginning of a very different model where everything's a conversation. Nobody's doing a monologue. And we're kind of by the way, I should say we're a transitional form of media. We aren't the end game. We're starting the conversation, but we're still old media types doing this. You are.
Yeah,
you're a young media type. I sucked you into old media.
It's all good, Leo.
Stay away from me. I'll teach you bad habits, like looking for your key light.
Okay, I just want to.
Okay, Oprah. Okay, Oprah. Thank you.
No,
so now I'm looking for the comments on here. It says there's 10 comments, but they're gone.
They're gone.
Do you think Oprah's censoring the comments?
I don't know. See, I suspect yes. I mean, that happens all this time in mainstream media, is that they don't really let people say what they want to say.
They don't want them to say what they want. They're afraid of what they say.
Yeah, they don't want people to be able to have that voice where... Because I think there really are two separate worlds there, right? Like, there really truly are those people who are online who really are embracing the internet, and then there are those people who are really embracing TV. And I don't think they overlap as much as some people would like to think.
Yeah. No, what this really is designed for, and I think the way that Oprah and her team think of it is a way to take our existing audience, and that's the key, our existing audience, and put more content online for them to kind of give them something more to do online, because they have after the show kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's just more of the same. And I don't think
exactly.
Ultimately that's what this medium is all about.
Yeah, they went. Yeah, I totally agree. Now, speaking of this new medium, there is a conference happening. You probably know about this in San Francisco called New TV Live.
Oh, no, I don't.
Television. You don't? Okay. I just sent you a link to it earlier. It's Television Reinvented. It's November 14th in San Francisco. And
Giga Ohm's doing this. Oh, Malik.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He started organizing it. I heard kind of a little bit of buzz about it, but I hadn't really followed up in terms of...
You know,
Ohm
and I
are
doing a panel with Mike Arrington at the Blog World. That should be interesting. I'll ask him about this.
Yeah, definitely. And the coolest thing is, if you actually look at the speakers, he has Steve Chen, one of the co-founders of YouTube and a former Net at Night guest as well. And he has people from MySpace TV, CBS. Let's go down the list here. Who else is here?
Ning.
The founder of StumbleUpon,
Azurius.
The host of Wall Street.
Wow.
I think Kevin Rose is going to be there on a panel, I think, or some video game that they're doing. But quite an impressive group of speakers. And it's all about Television Reinvention.
You know what's funny is I'd be much more interested in Kevin Rose put on a conference about the new TV, frankly. I don't know. It's the same old people again. You know, it's the usual suspects.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. No, I agree. I actually was hoping when I went down the list, I was hoping that...
Let's see more new media people there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I was really hoping that, just more from Kevin and whoever else are actually out there doing it and have kind of left, bigger corporations and are starting independent companies on their own. But anyway, I didn't know if you were going to go or if you had heard about it or whatever. So it looks kind of interesting.
I probably should go. I know a lot of the people who are speaking there, including Dennis Miller, by the way. But it's a different Dennis Miller. Shoot. See, now I'd go see Dennis Miller, but that'd be another thing. Kent Nichols is going to be there. But
yes.
I don't know. You know, I think that a lot, this is kind of, I like unconferences. This is a little top down for me, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I should go and just find out. Probably costs a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how much it costs. I'm not sure. I haven't really checked into that.
Oh, it's only $400, and it's sold out.
Well, see, there you go, Leo.
$500 if now, I guess you didn't get the early bird ticket.
Yeah, I know. There's so many conferences going on. Oh, my goodness. So I just wanted to include a little bit of Linux news because we don't talk too much about Linux, and I know you probably do on your other shows, but not so much on Net at Night. And this is an interesting story about the BBC website and how they totally underestimated the amount of Linux users that they had. At one point, they thought they had approximately 400 to 600 Linux users who visited BBC sites every week. And now it turns out that this number could be as high as 97,600. I know.
Whoops. What happened?
I'm not sure what happened. I think that they just, you know, they estimated that this was the amount of Linux users that they had. And then the Linux community came back at them. And I guess there was a petition that had over 2,000 signatures and kind of got on them to say that, hey, there's a lot more of us than you think there are. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
You know what is really at issue here is this iPlayer. BBC, which is funded by the license fees that UK television viewers pay, so it's really not a private entity, it's a public entity, made a online player so you could watch their shows, I think for 2 weeks after the fact, and it was Windows only. And Mac and Linux users were up in arms. They said, wait a minute, you're a public entity. You shouldn't be endorsing Microsoft like this and saying the rest of you, you're out of luck. And in fact, what happened was the people responsible for the BBC Trust, said that, in fact, you have to offer a player for all operating systems. But I think that the BBC was using this Linux number to justify the fact that, we're not, you know, there's only a few hundred people.
Yeah, exactly.
This.
Exactly. And you know what? That happens all of the time. I know just in work that I've done even recently where people say, oh, you know, there's not that many Mac users, so we're not going to, you know, ensure that our video player is compatible for Mac users. We, you know, it's just such a small percentage. And what they don't realize is that, you know, even though it might be a small percentage, a lot of those people are the people who are really active and really want the video, right? And who are really internet savvy.
Exactly. They're much more.
And so they, they're much more likely than, you know, the office workers who are all running on PCs and running Internet Explorer and you know, may not tune into the video, but they're just coming there to get text. And so I think you find that all the time is that, you know, people underestimate the power of these small groups of people who have a very loud voice when it comes to the Internet.
We got to remember that, again, broadcast media is really built around mass numbers of people who are mildly interested in what you're doing. You know, they don't really, that's the whole model is, well, we want to get 18 or 20 million or whatever it is. And, you know, in England, it's a lower number, but in the States, it's 18 or 20 million people watching this show. They don't have to be passionate about it. Probably they're not, that's not their first choice, but they're watching it. And that's the business model. Whereas the model that we're moving to is a smaller number of highly committed people watching or listening. And
exactly.
I think that's a better model, frankly.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, you find so many people are watching a lot of mainstream television. They have a different experience. It's very passive, right? So they're not sitting necessarily in front of their TVs glued to what's happening and very active. They just have the TV on in the background. They may be cooking dinner. So it's a very different experience. And so with the internet, you know, to give people who are truly engaged, I think, and truly interested in either learning something or getting information. So it's a much more active experience.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think the BBC ran into a buzzsaw here, and they're being told they have to be platform neutral. They made kind of a stripped down Flash player and said, okay, is that enough? And the BBC Trust is saying, no, that's not enough.
Yeah.
You got to work a little harder because it's got to be, you know, we're not here to endorse Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, anyway, I'm glad to see this, and I'm glad that they're going to proper. I don't know what they did wrong. I think mostly it was just to prove their point that they don't have to make a version for Linux.
I think you're probably right.
That's it for the news. And now on to your picks. Actually, before we get to your picks, I want to welcome Audible back. Yay. Audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. That is our URL if you want a free book from Audible. To sign up for Audible, you get a credit toward a free book, no charge or obligation. If you decide not to stick around, I think you will. 45,000 plus audiobooks you can download, so you get them right away. I really like that. Plus magazines, newspaper articles, radio shows. They do a lot of pro bono stuff as we come closer to election year, you're going to find a lot of debates and so forth on there for free. I just love Audible. Fill your audio player up with great podcasts from Twit and great books from audible.com. This week, I want to... Audible's doing this really cool thing, the Audible Essentials, where they pick the 100, what they think are the 100 kind of essential audio books, must-hear audio books. And I have to say, I've listened to more than half. It's kind of fun to go through this. I mean, I've listened to so many great audiobooks, and I thought I'd pick a couple from this list because, in fact, I'm going to pick one that's, I think, one of the first audiobooks I ever listened to from Audible, Angela's Ashes, read by Frank McCourt in that great Irish accent. And you've probably read Angela's Ashes if you hadn't. Very moving story of Frank's own childhood in Limerick, Ireland. A very tragic story. A beautiful story. It's let me play a little bit of it. Just so you hear Frank's just dramatic style.
My father and mother should have stayed in New York where they met and married and where I was born. Instead, they returned to Ireland when I was 4, my brother Malachy 3, the twins Oliver and Eugene barely 1, and my sister Margaret dead and gone. When I look back at my childhood, I wonder how I survived it all. It was, of course, a miserable childhood. The happy childhood is hardly worth your while.
I got to say, it's just a wonderful book, a real tearjerker. One of the great books of all time, and a particularly dramatic reading. That quality, by the way, is a little lower than you'll get when you download it. They have a variety of qualities depending on how much room is on your player, but most people now have big enough players that you'll download the full quality, which sounds exactly like this. It's high quality. audible.com/night. That is our URL to join Audible. Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt, my recommendation this week, but we've got a different recommendation for every show, so there's plenty to listen to. Thousands of books. You're going to love it. If you haven't already joined, please do us a favor. audible.com/night. We thank Audible for their support of Net at Night. Now, on to Ambo's picks.
Okay.
More news, you can do it, but I don't see any more on this list here.
No, that's all I've got. Right. That's all the news. Although there was lots of great internet news. I'm a little obsessed. It's hard to only find a few links and read through all of them.
Well, you could do more. There's no limit.
Oh, Leo, I know.
How about the Goo phone? Are you interested in Android, the new Google phone operating system?
Oh, yes. I read about that briefly. Do you know a lot about that?
Well, I mean, it's a platform that Google's going to sell or give away, I think, to phone manufacturers, handset manufacturers. They've got almost everybody signed up except Nokia, who has its own operating system, and Apple, who's got the iPhone. I have high hopes for it. I'd like to see an open phone system. Now, the question is whether T-Mobile and Sprint, who are expected to offer it in the U.S., I'm not sure who's going to do it in Canada, will truly make an open phone, or if they'll just, you know, say, yeah, well, we've got the Google operating system, now we're going to close it down like everything else.
Oh, no kidding.
I would hope Google would insist that they keep it open.
Yes, I would hope so as well. It's funny, even in Canada right now, I was reading an article today in the Globe and Mail about the iPhone and how people are still, it hasn't been announced when it's going to be launching in Canada, but people are still freaked out about what the data plans might be because it's still going to be so expensive. And I guess when the iPhone launches in Europe this week, I think that the best data plan that they have is about $70 a month, and it looks as though in Canada it's the cheapest they might be able to get it to, and I don't know where they're getting all this information, but it's $140.
Oh, forget it.
I know.
Would you buy it though?
I don't know. You know, that's just a lot. I mean, I probably would, but I mean, I'm in a different category than most people. I think the average person who wants the phone is going to be, I don't know, $600, and then to get these really expensive packages, I don't know if it's worth it.
The latest rumor is that you'll be seeing an announcement in just a few days, November 9th. And you know where that rumor comes from is the Apple Canada webpage where they accidentally put up on November 10th a seminar at the Apple store on how to use the iPhone.
Oh, that's awesome. There's been a lot of accidents going on with the iPhone as far as marketing.
Molson's.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Well, we'll see
what happens. We'll see.
Is there still a lot of interest in Canada on the iPhone? People want it?
I think so. I think people want it. I think they want to play with it. You know, it's just one of these phones that stands apart from the other phones, right? Because you go into a regular store and you see Samsung or Motorola or whatever it might be, and yeah, they have a bunch of phones, a bunch of models that can do different things, but the iPhone is just a totally separate experience, and so I think it just stands out, you know, in terms of standing up from the pack of the rest of the phone. So I think there'll be huge interest in it.
All right, let's get on to our best tech trick of the week. Da-da-da-da-da-da!
All right, Leo, this is really simple. This is a fun little Firefox download. It reminds me of our old days on Call for Help when I used to do a free file of the day. And I
always
love
the Firefox downloads. I'm installing this one right now.
It's so simple. All it really does is number your tabs in Firefox. And I have no idea why I want to do this. But for some reason, I really enjoy it. So you can number your tabs and you can jump to the number of the tab as well. I'm using it right now because I have a gazillion links open as we're talking about Net at Night. And you know what, Leo? I can't really explain the satisfaction with this. It's some ultra uber kind of geeky thing. But there's something nice about seeing your tabs all neatly numbered.
That's pretty funny. I mean, it's not like you could say to me, go to tab 3 now, because I don't know what your numbers are.
Oh, no. That would be very cool, though.
Yeah. Maybe we could do that.
Yeah. That would be very cool. But they don't have that just yet. So anyway, for there are Firefox geeks out there who want to... It just looks neat. I think that's part of it. This is one of those moments where I'm having this ultra... I'm very self-conscious of how geeky that sounded. But...
no, I like it. And, you know, what happens is people are looking at you over your shoulder. They're saying... And they look at your file and they go, whoa, how'd you do that?
And when you roll over the number, it turns to a neat little X, Leo. Yeah. It's just a wonderful thing.
We live for that. We live for that moment. Oh, how did you do that? That's cool.
Hello.
Hello.
It's very high tech. A lot of coding involved. Yeah, so that's a fun little Firefox download, and you can find that on addons.mozilla.org. Now for our best web idea. This isn't so much a web idea in terms of a service, but I thought this was kind of funny. On collegehumor.com, which is a site I find myself frequenting more often now, there is a columnist, Jeff Rubin, who is writing about how parents don't understand technology. And so what he's done is he's asking people to send stories about how untech savvy their parents are to parentsjustdon'tunderstand@gmail.com. I don't know why I find this funny. I think it's because I'm with my parents this week.
Here's some of the things parents, I like these stories. You want to read some of them?
I love them. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, sure. This is probably the one I like the most, this story about how parents don't understand technology. This is one story from Deirdre R. When I got a new cell phone, I called my mom to tell her. I mentioned it was a camera phone, and she said, really? Can you see me right now? I was reading these, and I thought they're so cute because I think so many people can really relate to them because their parents, you know, want to understand technology and maybe aren't too savvy right off the top, but some really fun little stories.
A few years ago, my mom tried to call my brother and reached his voicemail. She left a 2-minute message calling out for him to pick up the phone as if it was being played through his speakerphone. I've heard that.
Yes.
I've had people go, pick up the phone, pick up the phone. It's a voicemail. I don't hear any.
I know.
Now, I have to say, I'm a parent, and I'm sure my kids feel like I don't understand, but really, I'm not that dumb.
Dad just called you Dad, Leo. That was so weird. I've been hanging out with my father too much.
Did you call me Dad? I'm one of you. I'm one of them.
What I wanted to say is you're the uber geek dad, of course.
Yeah.
Your kids aren't going to think that.
Well, they think I don't understand anyway. I think that's pretty normal.
This is fun. I just want to read one more quickly. This is another story from Jessica. She says, before my mom and I got in the car to drive to Toronto, she reassured me that her friend had emailed directions and we were ready to go. When we were on the road, she told me she needed to use my laptop because the directions were in my email.
Oh, boy.
I asked how she intended to view her email in the middle of the highway, and she responded, I thought your laptop had the internet on it.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing, actually. It's very convenient. Oh, boy.
Those are some fun little stories.
Oh, boy.
I know. And actually, this is the story that I'm most excited about getting to. This is the worst web idea ever, and I still think that maybe these people should come on the show, although I can't stop laughing. The site, I found the site on techcrunch.com, on Michael Arrington's site. It's called crazyblinddate.com.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is the worst web idea ever.
So it's a dating site.
It's a dating site for people to get set up completely on blind dates.
So you don't read the profile or anything?
I think you might be able to read something, but the idea is it's very limited information, and it's only for social, outgoing, and adventurous people. It's free.
It's for fat people.
It's for crazy.
I'm going to sign up right now. Oh, wait a minute. I can't. But I mean, I would sign up. Don't you think people would sign up for this if they thought, I'll never get a date?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. If you want to, if you have to go to the internet to go on a blind date, that just, I don't know, it just scares me. You can go on double blind dates, a solo blind date, and...
Here's one for, okay, I'm going to sign up for a date in San Francisco for tonight, anytime from now until 8 p.m. So you fill in some stuff, and these crazy blind dates are supposed to be short, so don't trek too far. Okay, so I can say, where can we send you? And I get to check off. I'll go anywhere in the San Francisco area. All right. This is crazy.
I told you this it's the crazy. Worst web idea ever.
Yeah, but I like the implementation. So I'm checking off some neighborhoods in San Francisco. Okay. Now, following neighborhoods are close. Okay. Yeah, I'll add those two. Lower Haight, Union Square, Marina. All right. I'll go anywhere in the city. Anywhere in the city. I've checked them all. Okay, I could check my email once every 15 minutes, and I can get to these areas. Wow, it's like once the date's finalized, you have to go.
Yeah, you have to go on the crazy blind date.
What kind of place would you like to start your evening? Bar or coffee? Let's say coffee. That's safer.
Coffee sounds safer.
Yeah. Expected intention as CGI parameter. What? I think I broke it.
you broke the blind date website.
Please enter a sentence or two describing your ideal meeting. What should I write? I am tall, dark, and handsome.
So you like poetry.
You are blonde and beautiful.
Oh, Leo, this is going to go
like
no cricket.
Poetry.
And long walks on the beach.
And long walks on the beach. Okay, next. I hope I don't actually get a date. Wait a minute. Any age restrictions? Set with someone 18 to 99. That sounds good. Okay. Good
nice.
Lord. Okay. Authorizing meets this height requirement. One of these ethnicities. One of these beautiful body types. But so this isn't that different. I mean, you're going to narrow it down. You just won't see a picture of them.
Yeah.
And then what are they not?
Is there a serial killer?
Feeling good? Imagine all the nervous women in San Francisco right now hoping for you. You know, I think this might be kind of fun. It's only for Austin, Boston, New York, and San Francisco. So you can't do this, Amber. Sorry. You think
totally
it's a
fine.
Terrible idea. Now, you're a woman. See, a guy probably has a different point of view for this because it's more dangerous for a woman just to show up to a date with a stranger.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, when I think about it, oh, that's kind of exciting. It's kind of fun. You don't know who you're going to meet and how great is that. But being a woman, would I actually go?
No. Have you ever gone on blind dates?
I went on one once, and
boy, was that guy happy when you showed up?
Oh,
he went,
"Whoa!"
Sweet. And how was he?
I mean, he was nice, actually. He was a pretty nice guy, and I definitely liked him, but it didn't last very long. I think there was just something, you know, you have no foundation to kind of go on. I'm just not the blind date type. I think that's
I met my wife as a setup. That works
that's
pretty
different.
Well.
Yeah.
It was kind of blind, but my best friend was a very good friend of hers. And he said, I know you're going to really like Jennifer. And we went to a party that she was throwing. So it wasn't, you know, it was kind of lightweight. It wasn't heavy duty. He was there. And I met her, and we did. We hit it off. So that worked pretty well. And then we went on a double date after that. And so that was a setup. And I think that's a better way to do it.
I think so, too. I think that's better.
Anyway, your friends know you better.
Exactly. And, Leo, you can tell us next week if you got any
I'll tell you
replies.
How my date went.
Okay. No, not your date, just the reply.
No, I didn't finish it. I chickened out.
Okay,
there's
good.
Something I have to say. I mean, first of all, it's a very Web 2.0 nicely done site.
Yes, it actually is very nice.
It's very nicely done. And there's something kind of exciting about filling this out. But the problem is the reality that hits once you've done all this and then you go on this date.
Exactly.
But what if you met somebody really fun?
I think that would be great if you met someone really fun. And I just worry about the likelihood of that happening. You know, I mean, it's hard enough to... Sorry. I'm trying to be very diplomatic here.
It says, and it's frequently asked questions, are dates safe? No. You could have a heart attack from excitement and nervousness. Otherwise, otherwise, they're as safe as meeting someone in public from any other dating site. That's, you know, that's kind of true. I mean, so that's what, you've seen a picture and some lying bio. We only assign dates in public at venues you approve. You're going home with someone or switching venues is not something we arrange.
Yes. Well, I just think it has, there's a whole world of weirdness that could transpire from this website.
See, they do call it crazy blind date.
I know. Crazy blind date. That's what it makes me
laugh.
That's
kind of
so
the giveaway right there.
We need to get them on the show. That would be good.
Yeah, because they probably could justify it. We will.
They could tell us some of their success stories.
That's our goal. I still have to get the Mint guys on. I've just been lazy and I haven't pursued any of this stuff, but we will.
It's all good. Okay, we should probably keep moving along because I know you got a lot of stuff to do, and we're chit-chatting away. And also, more importantly, we're coming up on the best music pick.
Sweden!
No, this is just a weird coincidence. It's from Sweden again.
No, it's not. Come on. You
can
say that the first 10 times. I'm sorry.
No, well, people keep sending me stuff from Sweden. If people send me stuff from other countries, that would be fantastic. I'd love to hear, you know, what's the most popular song in Germany or whatever country
it
might
be. But you love Sweden.
I know, there's a thing about Sweden. So this is from, I think his name is Tarjei Jensen. And it looks like he's from Norway, because in his little note he says, Norway is better looking than Sweden, despite our roads being mainly asphalted goat tracks. Very interesting.
I've heard, actually, I love Sweden. It's beautiful. But I have heard from several people that the most beautiful Scandinavian nation is Norway. Oh, we're going to get the email now, aren't we?
Oh, we are. We're going to get it. We're going to get bad.
I haven't been to Norway, so I can't say. I mean, I thought Copenhagen, I thought, was beautiful. I thought Finland was beautiful. I loved Sweden. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty
high
standard.
I totally agree with you. So this is a song that is on YouTube from a Swedish band called, because it's Bass Hunter, and the song is Anna the Bot. And it looks like a lot of the music from this particular band has some tech influence in it, which I like.
Anna Bot. Anna heter hon.
Anna heter hon.
Kan banna det så hårt.
För
det är ju upp i våra kanal. Jag vill berätta för dig att jag känner en bot. Jag känner en bot.
I think you like it because the guy looks like Kevin Rose.
That was so 2005.
He's cute. He's paddling down the river.
Thinking about Anna the Bot.
It's very, it is techno. I like the bass beat.
I do too. I really like it.
So I was going to call him Bass Hunter, like it'd be in the fish. But I think you're right. Given the bass beat in this, it's Bass Hunter.
Yeah, I kind of stuck with that. And it looks like his newest album, I think the band has signed with Warner Brothers, and their debut album is called LOL.
LOL.
So there's a lot of
LOL cats. And then he keeps looking at the screen. Is it an I am? Oh, wait a minute. He's signing up for a date on Crazy Blind Date. there you go.
Well, hey, man, if that's the Crazy Blind Date, I'm back into the
He's kind of cute, I have to say.
Back into the program.
Well, you didn't say it was Bass Hunter that I was going out with. Oh, now wait a minute, though. He's dancing on his little paddle boat. That's a bad thing. Don't dance. Yeah, it's one of those boats where you get in the river and you're pedaling as fast as you can to go like 1 mile an hour. This is the disco bridge.
Love it.
Are you ready?
I know, it's kind of... See, I'm telling you, Swedish music, it's... You know, they've got some good
stuff. Is it Swedish or Norwegian? Have we decided?
No, it's Swedish. He's from Sweden.
Ah, but Tarjei is from Norway.
Exactly. But he was nice enough to send us the Swedish song, so that's
great. It's cute that they still have dune buggies in Sweden.
Very cute. We need to get there.
Do you think they still have discos like this in Sweden?
Ever since we started, what was one of the first Swedish bands we listened to a while ago? I think it was The Knife. Do you remember?
Yeah. They were great.
And it was a transsexual dancing in a community hall where they were maybe playing bridge or something. It was very strange.
That was weird.
So after I saw that, I thought anything goes in Sweden.
He's on, it looks like, what's really interesting, he's in a chat room, but it's IRC.
Yes. He's on Uber Geek.
He's on Merck. He's on MIRC. In an IRC chat room. I'm trying to see the URL so you could go there and meet him.
You're so sweet.
It's I can't quite. It looks like it's Pound Bass Hunter. It is. It's poundbasshunter.se, and there's 203 people in there. I guess they're all Bass Hunter fans.
Oh, you know what? Because if you go to his website, I think it's just, I don't know what it is, Bass Hunter.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I keep calling it okay. Bass Hunter.
I just was saving you there. basshunter.se. If you go to his site, you can see that there's obviously a huge internet influence.
Oh, yeah. And he must have chats.
I'd say so. Wow. Chats with his fans, maybe.
They have a video blog too.
I know what I'm doing later, Leo.
He's cute. He's cute. Selling records in Finland, scaring security. Now I wonder if they're Finnish, because there's maybe the Bass Hunter blog. He's got his own blog.
Well, this isn't just your average Swedish band, Leo.
Mitä saatana perkele tuota täällä teenu oikein?
Quite entertaining.
And it's got jolly Swedish humor on the blog.
Love it. Love it.
Very cool.
Kind of fun. All right. Enough about Sweden. This is a web service that I found on Delicious. Someone had tagged it on Delicious for me. And it's called drop.io. And the idea is that it's a private place for storing and sharing photos, video, audio, notes, and all that jazz up to 100 megabytes.
Oh, what a good idea. Limit.
And okay, so the reason that I have to mention this is I remember I used to love dropload.com.
Yes.
If you remember that.
Yes.
You could send files up to 100 megs for free, and it was a very simple interface and just really easy to use. And when you sent something to someone, you could tell when they had downloaded it. It wasn't like you send it, which I'm not a big fan of that site. But Dropload was great. But Dropload, when you go to the website, it's no longer there. And it's been saying for weeks, if not months, that it will be back soon, and it has never come back. So this looks like it's kind of the equivalent. So it's just drop.io, and you can send a file and you can add a password. You don't need to give them your email address or anything like that, and you can even add notes to the file. So it's just a place to share stuff where it doesn't cost any money,
and you don't have to sign up.
No,
you just name it, add
exactly.
a password, say when it expires, and press
exactly.
drop, and you upload the file, and that's it.
That's it.
Wow, that's really cool. So now, can you mail this to multiple people?
I'm not positive.
Let's see. Yeah.
I haven't tested it out yet. So
I guess what happens is you do the mail yourself. So
yeah, you send the mail yourself.
I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, for instance, Amber Mac, and then I'll add a password, but I don't have to. It expires after a month. Others can view and add notes and files. Wow, what a way to share stuff. Now, I understand why Dropload went out of business. I mean, imagine the cost. In bandwidth of this. I don't see any ads on here. No. I wonder how long these guys are going to last.
That's part of the problem. I'm just glad there's something out there, because I can't count the number of times that I want to send something. And I did pay the $20 on Pounce to be able to send stuff. But, you know, as far as the number of people I know on Pounce, it's a small percentage.
This could be to anybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my mom's not on Pounce.
Right.
Yet.
what do you send to your mom that's 100 megabytes?
I don't know. Maybe videos or photos.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's definitely been stuff along the way that I'd want to send to people that exceeds email limit. So that's
easily.
What I like. Especially video. I tend to send a lot of video around. So anyway, a handy site, drop.io. And then we have two more picks. The next one is, I picked this as the best video pick, and it's from collegehumor.com again. And
you
it's
crack
a man-
me up. Have you been hanging around collegehumor.com?
Yeah, you know, maybe I'm reverting to my
I think you're becoming a college kid again.
Hey, I got ID'd today buying beer for my family in the beer store.
Did
so.
You? Oh, that's so yes, nice.
I know. I loved it. I was very happy. Yeah. I thought she was joking, and I kind of laughed along, and then she was like,
no, you're not getting the beer until you show me your ID, you little 18-year-old you. But wait a minute. The drinking age in Canada is 19.
Yeah, it's 21 here. So.
Oh, it's 21 in PEI? Oh, you're in Florida.
I'm in Florida, yeah.
Ah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
I know. Anyway, this is a cool little
not
video.
Not that I couldn't believe you're 18. I'm just saying.
Honestly, yes, you are my very best friend. I want you to know that.
This is Vic Firth, the world's number one. Oh, no, that's an ad.
Yes, this is. I don't know who this dude is, but it's a video on College Humor, and it's one man playing 18 drums at the same time. We don't need to listen to it that long, but we could play it just for a few seconds, and he's very talented.
He's literally got 18 drums in front of him. They're all like snare drums.
Yeah.
basically what a drum line does. You've never seen
it.
Have you ever seen a drum line?
No, I've never been to a college football
yeah.
game.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it does. I mean, he's got a few more drums than usual, but wow, he's fast. That's great.
He's very, very talented.
Can you guess the name of that song, folks? He's playing a song. Listen a little longer. See if you can recognize the song. Because it's an actual song. You'll never get it.
I know, you'll never get it. I didn't even get it even when I actually knew the name of the song.
No, it doesn't sound anything at all like the song. I'll give you a hint. Titanic.
Yes, that's a very good hint.
That's a good hint.
A good hint for sure.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
Do you recognize now? It is the theme from Titanic, My Heart Will Go On. Of course, that's exactly what it sounds like. If it were to be played on 18 drums at the same time.
In one place on collegevideo.com. It's too funny. And the last pick that we have is a web design pick. This is kind of the most fun pick of all of them. Well, maybe not fun, but most useful for anyone out there building websites. And this is how
geeky Amber is. She thinks a site called The Five Competencies of User Experience Design is the most fun of the whole show.
Sorry.
Woo! Party!
Don't forget the numbered tabs.
You really got to put this on your blind date
profile.
Website. Yeah. Party!
Information architecture, the interface structure and navigation scheme includes a groundwork consisting of contextual analysis, business process, business rules.
I don't even understand what he's saying. What is this about? I don't even, it's got pretty blue and purple boxes. You actually understand this?
Well, I like this stuff.
Throughout my career as a user experience designer, I have continually asked myself three questions. What should my deliverables be? Will my deliverables provide clarity to me and their audience? Where do my deliverables and other efforts fit in within the spectrum of UX design?
Leo, don't you think that the Crazy Blind Date website went through all of these five steps of user experience design?
I think so.
You never know. Anyway,
my head's starting to hurt.
I know, for anyone who's into user experience design, you will like the site at uxmatters.com. And the five steps involve information architecture, interaction design, usability engineering, visual design, and prototype engineering. And
this is where I go wrong, because I go right to the end. Publish the site. I skip those intermediate steps.
That's all right. That's why you hired Archetype to build Twit.tv.
And you went through all those things. And Twit.tv, of all my sites, is the only one that people still use and love. I mean, that's survived the test of time.
It's a good thing. But anyway, it's a helpful site. And I love having a little design segment because I miss doing a lot of that work. And hopefully I'm going to start doing more
Would
of
you?
That. Maybe not a lot of it. But
I wish you'd come back on the lab and do a web workshop for us.
No.
We have a wonderful person, Susie Gardner, but I miss the Amber touch. I loved it when you would savage those guys.
I was very harsh, you know, Leo.
Yeah, savage them.
Savage. I think you were the first website that I did at leoville.com.
Yeah, I still smart from that, by the way.
Aww.
We're redesigning. I got a whole new look. You're going to love the new leoville.com.
Nice.
I'm going to move everything over. Right now it's a wiki, but the blog is WordPress, so I'm going to move everything over to WordPress. So the front page is going to be... I found a really nice WordPress theme called Revolution.
And okay, you know what? Can you just say that again? Just remember about 3 minutes ago when you were making fun of my geekiness.
I found a really nice WordPress theme. It's called Revolution. I find it's really beautiful. Love it.
And, you'll see. You're going to like it. I know. I'm a worse geek than you, Amber. I give you
I know, you are. And I wish someone would take pieces of our audio from Net at Night and cut together like a cool like rap techno song, you know? We're just like uber geeky.
I'm sure somebody will now.
That would be great, don't you think?
Yeah. You put out the call. Okay.
Amber, all right, so that's, fun. That's I hope pretty
you're,
much it.
I hope you're having a good time in Florida. You're getting a nice tan. More importantly, getting a nice rest. When do you go back?
Yes. I'm flying back Monday morning, next Monday morning, very early. Good. But it's good to be here, and I will be ready for Net at Night next Wednesday, if that works for you.
Yes, and, install Leopard. Maybe we can get video going. I'm really hopeful we can get video going.
Yes, I'm sure we will. All right, we can do it. If anyone can, we can.
It might break in the middle, but we'll get it going in the beginning anyway. Amber MacArthur, Leo Laporte, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Net at Night.